What is your disposition? It is in your character, your temperament, your basic makeup, where you find the inclination, the tendency, the proclivity of understanding. Understanding without words, without thoughts, without beliefs. This is what Lhotse talked about in his precious Tao, which is, therefore the sage goes about doing nothing, teaching, no talking. The 10,000 things rise and fall without cease. People have this strange idea that somehow in an authentic practice, if one were in one or if there was one, that there would be no problems, there'd be no situations, there'd be no issues. People have this fairy tale idea that somehow, if you're in an authentic practice, extraordinary things will happen to you. Things such as never being sick, never having problems, never having difficulties with people, whatever. People really think this. I have found this to be true all throughout my career. The wise person is unmoved by the many things that rise and fall, because they have a disposition within themselves. Do you understand your own disposition? How my words that I offer to you fall in you? How they tumble into certain aspects of your mind as seeds, some that are allowed to flower, some that are burned in the heat of your anger, your pain, your disappointment, and never get to germinate. Your disposition, your temperament, your character comes into play at all times within your life and within the practice. You're going to have problems. Buddha had them. Jesus had them. Lhotse had them. Everybody has difficulties. It isn't that the difficulties will go away because you have become so quote-unquote spiritual. That does not work. That does not happen. It is when we are unmoved by the things in the outer life, determining the state or the character, the temperament, our basic disposition within ourselves. You live in a world, you and I have incarnated in this world in a form that is very difficult. The world is a difficult place. You're not going to have the perfect life, as it were, as you would imagine it. The configuration of how you posture yourself inwardly, where you realize in that inner posture that you are not using your thoughts, your mind, your assumptions, your presumptions. You are sitting in the context of your awareness, of the achievement of consciousness. If you understand this, that this consciousness, this awareness, this temperament within you builds a character that is able to no longer be a part of what's right and wrong and good and bad, when you are steadfast, when you go about doing no thing. Do you understand what latsa means? You're not trying to do a thing. You are simply in the posture of the way. If you can understand this, you have character. You see, most people have the disposition of the humanity of which they have inherited through genetic and DNA dispositions. When something is frightening, they get frightened. When something goes wrong, they get angry and they go wrong. If you live only in the dispositions and the temperament of your body, you will never be able to transcend. You have to live beyond it. I love this story. A Sufi master was dying. He was an extraordinary human being, it is said. He was of great innocence, great joy. That was his disposition. That was his character, his makeup. The people in the village did not think of him well because they were traditional people. But this Sufi master, well, he was anti-tradition. He had character. He had a disposition for love, not religion, but for love. The true lover, the true man or woman of love is always condemned in this culture, overlooked in this society. And yet it is love that is the ocean that we swim in this lifetime. There's a difference between our life and the world. Well, this master, he was condemned by religious people, by traditional people. He was considered unimportant, of no necessity. His ways were unconventional and unorthodox. His disposition, his character, was that of what lived within him as love. So he was going to die. He was very elderly. His disciple asked, "What are we going to do with your body? Because you have lived such an unconventional life, we don't know whether to bury you or to burn you. What are we supposed to do?" The master smiled at them with his laughing eyes and said, "Surprise me." And then he passed on. I love this story. Surprise me. The sage goes about doing no thing. The 10,000 things rise and fall in the course of a lifetime, but he remains the same in the character, in the context of a character that goes beyond the confines of the human body, which you have inherited through genetics. It's interesting to me. When I present this kind of thing to my students in session work or in workshops or retreats, they just shrug their shoulders. They think, "Well, I have nowhere else to go. What am I supposed to do, Greg? This is who I am. A person without any inclination or propensity to posture themselves meditatively within. They have no real sense of humor about themselves. They remind me of the man who was in search of a path, a true path. And he was told that there was a well hidden deep in the caves in the Himalayas. And if he went there and found this cavern, he would also find a well. It was a miracle well. And if you sincerely ask the well, it will reply to you. It will give you great truth. Only the adepts knew of this. So this man, who thought of himself as a searcher, as a seeker, which he really wasn't, it was difficult to reach the well, but somehow he got there. And he found it. He was thrilled. He went over to the well and yelled in it, "What is life?" No reply came. The well simply echoed his question in his own voice. And he repeated the question over and over, "What is life?" The man was semi-sincere. He wanted the well to answer him in the language, in the thoughts, in the assumptions, presumptions of his own mind, so he could understand in the context of his mental acuity. For 3 days and three nights, he'd stood there asking again and again, "What is life?" only to hear his own voice come back at him, "What is life?" But he continued and finally gave up. What is life? Life is what you and I have a predisposition for, a temperament for. What is your disposition as a person? What is it that is the makeup, the constitution of you? What is your character? If you do not know, then go to the well of your life and ask, "What is my disposition? What is my character?" You will just hear the same old, because you have not reached the silence, the emptiness, the doing without doing. You must realize that life reflects only what we are, what we have lived for. Everybody in this world has a makeup, a mentality, shall we say. And in that makeup and mentality, they live by the predispositions of their inherited qualities. They're a mixture of that and DNA, the survival mechanism within us. And we become ruthless in this, so much so, so frightened, so insecure, that we feel like we can't survive without the persona, without the ego, without the vanity, without the lack of character. A person builds character only through silence, as I said in the last discourse, by creating, not possessing. If you try to possess yourself, you will miss. If you try to possess what is happening in the world, you will miss. If you really look at it, in this world, nothing has really happened. And basically, nothing will happen. Whatever is within you is within you. Whatever constitutes your character, that is wow and how and is and being of your entire life. Your entire life will be made up of the wow of your thinking, the emotions you are harboring, and the secrets you think you're keeping. And if you only live by the physicality of your life, you will miss. Because nothing is going to happen. Because what has happened has happened. It is my character, my propensity, my proclivity to either react to it emotionally and be tempted to think and say and do things that are against the flow of our life, the flow of life, the flow of the Tao, or I put myself to the task of not being subject to the 10,000 things that rise and fall without cease. I am not a kite in a tornado, in a hurricane, in a tsunami. I don't look for a way through my fragile mind and body. Rather, I see life for what it is. It is that which never ceases. Life is not made up of things. When Lhotse talks about the 10,000 things, he is talking about this is the way we look at life, as a matter of things. Life works out of energetics. And I will never know the light that lives within me if I am consumed by the things of this world, the things that rise and fall. They're going to rise and they're going to fall. It is important for me to understand that and to live in the premise of that. But to be unmoved, unwavering in my propensity, proclivity, my character, to live in the way, to live in no thing. When there is no thingness in me, I am clear about the occurrences, the quote, seeming things that will happen to me in the course of my lifetime. I do not take it personally. You live in a form that you've inherited. It is not you. You have inherited this form. Through karma, you and I have come into a world where we inherit a form. We are not the form. We inherit the form that brings 10,000 things without cease. But when I am not possessed and being possessed by the form, that is when the surprise comes. Like the master said, surprise me. Do something out of the box. Be generous. Be merciful. Forgive. Give. Love. Break the shell around you through an excruciating amount of tenderness. If you can remain tender, if tenderness can enter into you, then you will find the 10,000 things no longer establishing themselves within you as the course of your life. The course of your life will be in the character, the disposition of love within you. Let's meditate together on all this. Let me read you something from the Tao. The wise person values those things that others reject. and rejects those things that others value. He learns and unlearns and is able in his learning and unlearning to awaken to love and live, as Lao Tzu says, in the light. Let's live in the light.